You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, Senator Van Wongard joins us to talk about a bill he co-authored that would eliminate the social host loophole in Wisconsin, which lets adults serve alcohol to minors in their homes.
First, Wisconsin has some of the worst racial disparities in the nation when it comes to infant mortality, and this racial gap continues to puzzle Wisconsin researchers. An African-American infant is three times more likely to die in the first year of life than a white infant.
A program in Racine is trying to turn this around and reduce the number of black infants who die before they turn one. The founders of the Greater Racine Collaborative for Healthy Birth Outcomes join us now. Dr. Teresa Johnson is an associate professor of nursing at UW-Milwaukee and a research nurse consultant at Ascension All Saints Hospital in Racine. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Margaret Melnori is Administrative Director for Women's and Children's Services at Ascension All Saints. Margaret, welcome to you.
Thank you as well.
Teresa, let's begin with you. Help us understand infant mortality in Wisconsin and what is going on with African-American births here.
One of the important things to think about is with our infant mortality overall, we don't look that bad. It's 5.7 deaths per 1,000 births in Wisconsin and 5.8 for the U.S. But what's so very different is, especially in southeast Wisconsin and in Racine specifically, that's where we see the rates three times higher for the black infants than the white infants. So all of those infant who is born black has three times the risk of dying before the first birthday than a white baby.
So what do you think is going on there, Teresa? Why is this happening?
There's several different reasons. First off, we have the social determinants of health. And I know a lot of public health people aren't used to that particular terminology, so I'll explain some of those. Examples include economic stability. So poverty, how many individuals in the household are working full-time. Education is another one of those. And for education, it includes birth to three, how children are read to as babies on up, how many go to college right after high school, and also how many individuals graduate in 4 years from high school. And the third one is, of those social determinants, is health and health care, which includes insurance and interactions with health care providers. So are individuals able to get the appropriate medical, health, and dental care in a timely manner? A fourth is neighborhood and built environment. So are they in environments that there's a lot of violence? Mm. Are there issues with air quality? And then lead.
Mm. Yeah.
And then
go ahead.
And the last one is the social and community contact. So looking at people who are registered voters, and if a family member or parent has spent time in jail or prison. So you can tell that that's a wide variety of issues surrounding a family that can potentially impact their reproductive health and their birth outcomes.
Mm. But that really doesn't address the issue of the racial disparity. That could be for anybody. So if you're really talking about why African Americans have this problem, it really boils down to racism. Racism in America. Because if you look at African Americans or black people in their native country, they do not have a racial disparity for infant mortality. It comes down to racism, pure and simple. And if we think racism isn't alive and well, I can give you a recent example. My husband is a high school teacher in a Milwaukee school, and one of his friends, coworkers, walks the track every morning. And a woman came up to this man a couple weeks ago, so it's very recent, and said, "Do you work here?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And there was some noise going on in another room. And she said, "Well, then you must be the janitor, so you can go fix that noise for me." No, he's the lead guidance counselor in the school. Again, a very easy mistake that we take for granted that African-American people put up with day in and day out as they go about their lives.
So, Margaret, you and Teresa are really trying to address this disparity through the Greater Racine Collaborative for Healthy Birth Outcomes. Tell us what you're doing through this program.
Well, we started this work in 2006-07, where Teresa and I, along with a public health nurse, really identified that we had a huge issue with infant mortality, particularly among African Americans in our community. This has been a long process, so it takes 10 years to really see outcomes that we're seeing now, and it takes the whole community to come together to work on this. We had over 100 agencies working with us since 2006 to identify what we needed to do. We really formed this collaborative, and we did a lot of groundwork to identify how we wanted to proceed. We did some strategic planning. We came up with priorities, and our first priority was to improve the health and safety of African American women and their families over their entire lifespan. So
I want to point out an intervention before we go any further along those lines that we really began with during those early days and early years, and that includes educating our community on the impact of racism. Because some people will say, well, it's 2017, there's no racism. Well, yes, there is. And it's hard for individuals to understand what it's like to have somebody follow them through a department store waiting on them to shoplift because of their color, and that individual makes a whole lot more than most of us do. So just based on their color, that stress of racism and stress of going through their life, having somebody watching them every single minute.
And so, Teresa, I'm going to step in there because I really want to get to the program here, the Centering Pregnancy Program. Can you tell us what you're trying to do with that and how it's going?
Well, we can talk about Centering Pregnancy is a national program that was started in 1993 to 1994 by a nurse midwife in Connecticut. And this program really is a group model of prenatal care that integrates three major components of care: health assessment, education, and support. So it's like receiving your prenatal care in a group versus going to your doctor or nurse practitioner or nurse midwife one-on-one. And let me give you an example of what happened. The first group we started was in 2012, and there was much discussion before we started these groups about, do we want to have the groups just women who've had other babies, just young teens? Do we want to have separate types of group? The centering model of pregnancy really talks about anyone belongs in the group at any time. The discriminating factor is when is your due date, so that we have people who are all due about the same time. In one of the very first groups, there was a young girl who was 15. And everybody was like, ooh, how is this going to work? Well, she was 15. She and her boyfriend rode their bikes to every group centering opportunity. They chose then to give up their baby for adoption. And one of the things of centering is after all the women deliver, they come back and have a final kind of group party and show everybody their babies and all the fun stuff that goes with it. Well, the adoptive couple in Milwaukee chose to bring this baby down so that they could have their baby in the group setting with all the rest of their friends they had made and who had supported this young 15-year-old couple throughout their pregnancy. That never would happen if the young girl had just gone to her provider on a one-to-one visit.
We're talking right now with Dr. Teresa Johnson, an associate professor of nursing at UW-Milwaukee, and she's a research nurse consultant at Ascension All Saints Hospital in Racine, and Margaret Malnori, who is administrative director for Women's and Children's Services at Ascension All Saints. And together they are working to address the infant mortality issue here in Wisconsin and have programs that they're addressing right there in Racine. And Margaret, with the Centering Pregnancy Program, you know, pregnancy can be very scary, a very uncertain time. What is it about this program? Does it give the support system that's been needed? What is the magic of the program?
I think there's two magic pieces to it. I believe support is integral because you have the support of your physician. Our groups are all led by physicians, which is unique in Racine. Typically, most programs are run by nurse midwives. So that's a leap of faith that our physicians took to facilitate these groups. So think of it. When you have a typical prenatal visit, you have maybe 10 minutes with your physician or provider. In centering, you have 2 hours where you interact with this person and among the other group members. So support from the group members and support from your provider is integral to the success of it. But also the education. There's a very structured education program that goes with it. This is a national model. You have to follow the prescribed curriculum. So at 20 weeks, your topic is X, and at 25 weeks, your topic is Y. And those topics are educational. They promote a lot of group discussion. So Mom A may say, well, the last time I was pregnant, I didn't know that I was supposed to do this. And the first time Mom will go, oh, thanks for letting me know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of group interaction mm-hmm. as well as the education and support.
Teresa, do you track then these babies and these moms after birth and for how long?
Yes, we do. And actually, the kind of tracking that we do is just while they're in the hospital. Some of the information we do have for some of the preterm infants. But the long-term, the infant mortality component of this is actually conducted through the Central Racine Health Department, and they provide us with those statistics, as well as the state of Wisconsin. So most of what we have is all of the information about their pregnancy and then all of the information about their inpatient hospitalization for both the mother and the baby.
If you look at centering nationwide, the two major outcomes that centering has influence on is decreasing the prematurity rate, which we know prematurity is the lead indicator for fetal and infant mortality, mm-hmm. and then increasing breastfeeding on discharge. So those are definitely two of the indicators that we track when comparing our centering program with other programs.
We're talking right now with Teresa Johnson, an associate professor of nursing at UW-Milwaukee, and Margaret Milnori, administrative director for Women's and Children's Services at Ascension All Saints Hospital, about the racial gap in infant mortality and what's being done about it in Wisconsin.
And you can join the discussion at 800-642-1234. Were you involved in a centering pregnancy group, and what was your experience like? Did you have access to another type of support system that may have helped during pregnancy? And if you are in healthcare and you work with mothers and infants, we want to hear what you think about the infant mortality issue in Wisconsin. Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up this conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Teresa Johnson, a nursing professor at UW-Milwaukee, and Margaret Milnori, administrative director for Women's and Children's Services at Ascension All Saints in Racine. Together, they started the Greater Racine Collaborative for Healthy Birth Outcomes. We're talking about a national program that's helped reduce infant mortality in Racine and the racial divide that exists. An African-American infant is 3 times more likely to die in the first year of life than a white infant.
And we want to hear from you on this issue at 800-642-1234. What things should Wisconsin do to help solve this infant mortality problem? What questions do you have about programs that could help reduce the number of infant deaths? And if you work in healthcare and among women and infants, how have you tried to address this infant mortality problem? And is it working? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's go right away to the calls. Let's go to Betty in Madison. Hi, Betty.
Hi. So I'm just calling because I'm currently pregnant. And I went to one meeting of a centering pregnancy group here in Madison. And I can understand how the benefits that you're talking about can be seen, but my experience was largely negative. I walked into a room with a bunch of people that I didn't know, with someone who wasn't my doctor, and didn't know exactly what we were doing or what was going on. And I could hear, you know, other patients' discussions with the provider because it wasn't private. They were just behind a curtain, basically. So I guess my concern with the centering pregnancy is that, you know, in an environment like that, perhaps people wouldn't be as open about concerns that they're having or be receiving, you know, the specialized attention that you would in a one-on-one setting. So it might have benefits in certain situations, but not in all of them.
Teresa, do you want to approach that?
I do. One of the things about any time you begin a new group is you have to give them a chance. And in the groups that we run here, we have some of our staff that are absolutely wonderful about developing activities that help this group to get to know each other. And I understand that your concern, too, about what's private and what's not. But if there's more time needed or other questions that need to be asked, those times can be made available. And if there's things that you're not comfortable sharing, you don't. But then as the group comes together, there's trust built amongst the members of the group, and what's talked about there stays there. And a lot of the women have really benefited from their contact and experiences of other women. But if they didn't go past the first group, they might have voiced similar concerns that you did.
Hey, Betty, did you stick with it?
No, I immediately told my provider that I didn't feel comfortable in that setting. And I guess that could have been largely based on the facilitators of that specific group mm-hmm. and how they handled, you know, that there were no introductions or anything like that when we first walked in. So I understand that it is a very individual reaction to different types of care. I would just hope that in the research that they're doing about the efficacy of these groups, that they're also exploring the possibility, you know, of negative reactions like that and what effects that might have on outcomes as well.
Well, Betty, thank you so much for calling in and telling us your story about that. We really appreciate it. Let's now go to Fawn in Madison. Hi, Fawn.
Hi. I'm so glad you're having this topic. And I would like to tell you, I'm an adoptee myself, and I'm a biracial woman who is adopted at birth to a white couple, well, mixed, multicultural couple. I had a wonderful upbringing, so I had a positive experience with adoption. I am more recently located my birth mother. We have a fabulous relationship. It's just wonderful. And I'd like to talk to the story that you told about the adoptive parents bringing the baby to the centering group. Just brought tears to my eyes. It's so touching. Thank you for sharing that. It just underscores how supportive that group can be and how tight-knit, close-knit, and how much it means to the people who are in the group. I'd also like to thank you for carrying on that program. It's so valuable, and it's so such an important topic and such an important issue. And not only that is the centering pregnancy, the program itself, I'm sure, very valuable, but also that you highlighted the responsibility or the part that every Wisconsinite plays. All white Wisconsinites really are a part of the solution by learning more about racism and by examining our behavior and what I say are because I'm biracial. I have mm-hmm. both hands. But for all people can be more aware of the effect that our actions have on other people, particularly minorities, particularly people of color. And that will have an impact on infant mortality, believe it or not. I really appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
And Fawn, thank you so much for calling in. Margaret, with Fawn there and addressing that support that she received in her upbringing, how big of an issue is support and having your needs met in getting a baby to their first birthday?
Support is very, very critical. As we know, as Teresa talked about, the increased stress if you don't have support. If you don't have the support of your community, if you don't have your support in your neighborhood, if you don't have support in your health care, it all adds increased stress. And we know that stress increases the cortisol level in the mom, which then can negatively impact the fetus, which could have an impact on the infant mortality rate.
And can I also point out that stress continues not just through that time during pregnancy in the child's life, but also increases their risk for other chronic illnesses throughout the lifespan. So that experience that woman and that fetus and child have gone through as a result of stress during pregnancy in her life contribute to increased risk for heart disease, hypertension, cancers, and other kinds of illnesses that continue through the lifespan.
And we know that that is passed generation to generation, because as I said previously, minorities who are in their native country do not have the same issue with infant mortality as minorities in America, but it doesn't happen the first generation typically. It happens second and third generation, so it stresses a huge issue to the minorities who have immigrated into our country.
Well, before we wrap up, I want both of you to take a moment here and talk about what has been the toughest challenge you've been working on here through this issue of infant mortality, and what have been your milestones, your little aha moments. Teresa, let's begin with you.
I'm going to say educating the community about racism, because so many people think, well, I'm a good person. I treat everybody the same. And through a lot of this work, a lot of individuals that I've had contact with have come to acknowledge, oh, yes, there I saw it, there I saw it. And until we take it and own it and realize that there are certain privileges sometimes people have because they're white, even though that's not right, we're not going to fix it. So
really quickly here, we're running out of time.
Okay, so that's my biggest takeaway.
I think one of the biggest...
Okay, I got to jump in here. Teresa Johnson is an associate professor of nursing at UW-Milwaukee. Margaret Melnori is an administrative director for Women's and Children's Services at Ascension All Saints in Racine. Together, they founded the Greater Racine Collaborative for Healthy Birth Outcomes to address the racial gap that exists in infant mortality rates and to help more babies reach their first birthday.
And remember, you can chime in. Let us hear your story and what you think about the conversation you just heard, what it brought up for you on our Central Time Facebook page. The door is always open, and you can keep that conversation flowing over there.